Morning.
Morning.
I'm going to do something different today because one of the options given to elders in the Reformed tradition is to read out sermons that have been prepared previously by ministers of the Word. Today I'd like to bring an exhortation by way of a sermon that was preached more than a century ago by a man that many of you may be unfamiliar with. In it, he covers the topic I originally planned to discuss in a way far superior to what I had prepared. Hopefully this message will give you an appreciation for some of the great gospel works of the past and perhaps a desire to become more familiar with them. John Charles Ryle, commonly referred to as J.C. Ryle, was the first Anglican bishop of Liverpool from 1880 until his death in 1900. A man of piety and deep evangelical sympathies, he was instrumental in the evangelization of many of the poor and working class inhabitants of that city, and was acknowledged by many of his peers as an outstanding preacher and soul winner. C.H. Spurgeon said of him that, quote, J.C. Ryle is an evangelical champion, one of the bravest and best of men. And he also stated that he is the best man in the Church of England today. Now, we must remember, of course, that the term evangelical back then wasn't referring to a religious movement, rather meaning simply that one believed in the necessity of the new birth and therefore preached for conversion and conviction. But Ryle was no semi-Pelagian revivalist. His sermons and writings bear everywhere the marks of the doctrines of grace and Reformed orthodoxy, thus contrasting sharply with the Arminianism which prevailed among Anglicans at that time. His orthodoxy, along with a heart that burned with love for his fellow men and for God, make his messages as pertinent today as they were when they were first preached. And I hope you will be blessed. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 19. We will read verses 1 through 23 to get some context. But before we do, let's ask God to open our hearts to his word. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this lovely day and the freedom to come here and preach your word without restraint, without constraint, Lord, to speak what it is that you put in our hearts, to understand, to grow in knowledge, to grow in piety and love for you. We ask that our hearts would be open today, including my own, that your word would penetrate deeply and change us even forever. We ask in Christ's name, amen. The title of the message today is simply two words. He lingered. Genesis chapter 19, I'll read verses 1 through 23. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye unto them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hands and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto the son, unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass that when they brought him forth, them forth, abroad, and he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, and I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Hasten thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. And the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. So much of the reading of God's word. He lingered. Verse 16. The holy scriptures, which are written for our learning, contain beacons as well as patterns. They show us examples of what we should avoid, as well as examples of what we should follow. The man who heads this page is set for a beacon to the whole church of God. His character is put forward to us in these two words. He lingered. Who was this man who lingered? He is the nephew of faithful Abraham. And when did he linger? The very morning Sodom was to be destroyed. And where did he linger? Within the walls of Sodom itself. And before whom did he linger? Under the eyes of the two angels who were sent to bring him out of the city. Even then, he lingered. What was Lot? This is an important point. Many perhaps would say that Lot was a bad man, an unconverted man, a child of this world. But Lot was nothing of the kind. He was a true believer, converted, justified, a righteous man. The Holy Ghost has placed this matter beyond controversy by calling him, quote, just and righteous in 2 Peter chapter 2, and has given us good evidence of the grace that was in him. One evidence is that he lived in a wicked place, seeing and hearing evil all around him, and yet was not wicked himself. He, quote, vexed his soul with the unlawful deeds he beheld around him. He was wounded, grieved, and pained, and hurt at the sight of sin. He vexed his soul from day to day, and did not at length become cool and lukewarm about sin, as many do. Familiarity and habit did not take off the fine edge of his feelings. Such a one was Lot, a just and righteous man, a man sealed and stamped as an heir of heaven by the Holy Ghost himself. But what does the text tell us about Lot's behavior? The words are astounding. He lingered. Lot knew the fearful judgment coming down on all within the walls of Sodom. The angels had said plainly, The Lord has sent us to destroy it. He believed there was a danger, for he went to his sons-in-law and warned them to flee. Up, said he, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. He saw the angels of God standing by waiting for him and his family to go forth. He heard their voices ringing in his ears to hasten him. Arise, take your wife and your two daughters, which are here, lest ye be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And yet he lingered. As astounding as this may appear at first sight, I fear there are many of the Lord Jesus Christ's people very much like Lot. They appear to know far more than they live up to, see far more than they practice, and yet continue in this state for many years. They hold to Christ and love the truth, yet they are constantly doing things which disappoint the expectations of their ministers and more advanced Christian friends. They believe in heaven, but faint in their longing for it. They believe in hell, but they do not fear it. They love the Lord Jesus, but the work they do for him is small. They hate the devil, but often appear to tempt him to come to them. They know the time is short, but live as if it were long. They know they have a race to run, yet they often look like people sitting still. These may be classed under one sweeping description. They are all brothers and sisters of Lot. They linger. Let us consider the reasons that may account for Lot's lingering. To know the root of the disease is one step toward a remedy. One thing I observe in Lot is that he made a wrong choice early in life. There was a time when Abraham and Lot lived together. They both became rich and thus could live together no longer. Abraham, in the true spirit of humility and courtesy, gave Lot the choice of the country. When they resolved to part company, and what did Lot do? We are told he saw that the plains of Jordan near Sodom were rich, fertile, and well watered. It was a good land for cattle and full of pastures. It just suited his requirements, and this was the land he chose. It was near the town of Sodom, but he cared not for that. The men of Sodom, who would be his neighbors, were wicked, but it mattered not. They were sinners before God exceedingly, but it made no difference to him. Lot chose by sight and not by faith. He asked no counsel of God to preserve him from the mistake. He looked to the things of time and not to those of eternity. He thought of his worldly profit, but not of his soul. I observe also that Lot mixed with sinners when there was no occasion for his doing so. We are first told that he pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the very next time he is mentioned, we find him living actually in Sodom itself. The Spirit says expressly, he dwelt in Sodom. He occupied a house in the very streets of that wicked town. Make a wrong choice in life and settle yourself down unnecessarily in the midst of worldly people, and I know no sure way to damage your own spirituality and to go backward about your eternal concerns. This is the way to make the edge of your feeling about sin become blunt and dull. This is the way to give the devil vantage ground in the battle, to tie your arms in fighting, to fetter your legs in running. I call on every reader to mark well what I am saying. If ever you would be safe from lingering, beware of needless mingling with worldly people. It is not enough that the house is comfortable, the neighborhood pleasant, the living cheap. You must think of your immortal soul. Is the gospel preached within an easy distance? Remember this in choosing a profession in life. It is not enough that the salary is high and the advantages numerous. Think of your immortal soul. Will you have your Sundays free and be able to have one day in the week for your spiritual business? Gold can often be bought at too dear of a price. Let us now inquire what kind of fruit Lot's lingering spirit bore at last. There are not a few who will feel disposed to say, well, after all, Lot was saved. He got to heaven, I want no more. But if I do get to heaven, I shall be content. I will always contend that imminent holiness and imminent usefulness are most closely connected, that happiness and following the Lord go fully side by side. If believers will linger, they must not expect to be useful in their day and generation or to be very saintly and Christ-like. Let us mark then, for one thing, that Lot did no good among the inhabitants of Sodom. He probably lived in Sodom many years. He no doubt had many precious opportunities for speaking of the things of God and trying to turn away souls from sin. But Lot seems to have affected nothing at all. He appears to have had no weight or influence with the people who lived around him. He possessed none of that respect and reverence which even the men of the world will frequently concede to a bright servant of God. Not one righteous person could be found in all of Sodom outside the walls of Lot's home. Let us mark for another thing that Lot helped none of his family, relatives, or connections toward heaven. There was not one among them all that feared God. His wife left the city and his company, but she did not go far. She had not faith to see the need of such a speedy flight. She looked back in spite of the plainest command not to do so and was at once turned into a pillar of salt. Lot's two daughters escaped, but only to do the devil's work. They became their father's tempters to wickedness and led him to commit the foulest of sins. In short, Lot was not the means of keeping one soul back from the gates of hell. And I do not wonder. Lingering souls are seen through by their own families, and when they are seen through, they are despised. Their nearest relatives understand inconsistency if they understand nothing else in religion. Lot left no evidences behind him when he died. We know but little about him after his flight from Sodom, and all that we do know is unsatisfactory. We are told of the last days of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and David, but not one word about Lot. There is a painful silence about his later end. He seems to go out like an expiring lamp and to leave an ill savor behind him. If we had not been specially told in the New Testament that Lot was just and righteous, I truly believe we should have doubted whether he was a saved soul at all. But I do not wonder at this sad end. Lingering believers will generally reap according as they have sown. Today, we live in days when a lingering Lot-like religion abounds. The stream of profession is far broader than it once was, but far less deep in many places. To belong to a church, to buy popular religious books as fast as they come out, to attend meetings, to be enthusiastic and excited about every new form of sensational religion which crops up, all these are now comparatively easy and common attainments. They require little or no sacrifice. They entail no cross. But to walk closely with God, to be really spiritually minded, to be distinct from the world in the use of our time, our conversation, in amusements, and in dress, is a rare thing. To bear a faithful witness for Christ in all places, to leave a savor of our Master in every society, to be prayerful, humble, unselfish, good-tempered, quiet, easily pleased, charitable, patient, and meek, jealously afraid of all manner of sin. These are not common among those who are called Christians today, and worst of all, the absence of them is not felt and bewailed as it should be. If you would be useful, if you would be happy, do not be a lingering soul. What do the times demand? The shaking of nations, the overturning of kingdoms. Would you be ready for Christ at his second coming? Would you enjoy a strong assurance of your own salvation in the day of sickness and on the bed of death? Would you be useful to the world in your day and generation? Would you draw men from sin to Christ? Would you have a great crown in the day of Christ's appearing, and not be the least and smallest star in glory, and not find yourself the last and lowest in the kingdom of God, then do not linger. Does any reader feel that he is a lingerer? Think not for a moment that your case is past recovery. Think not that there is no hope of revival just because you have been living long in a dry, sleepy, and heavy state of soul. Is not the Lord Jesus Christ an appointed physician for all spiritual ailments? Doubt not, but earnestly believe that he will yet revive his work within you. Confess your folly and come. Come at once to Christ and linger no more. Amen.